Right, let's go to Joshua. That's the basic theme of the meeting here, so I thought that would be a good start for my message. Joshua 1, verse 7, or verse 6, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land, which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go." Well, we need success. And God's word is a message of success. And that's what the gospel is. It's a message of success, a victory, isn't it? The term gospel is a term come from the battles that they had, the wars that they had at those times. When a city would go to war against a neighboring city, they would go to battle, and a runner, after the battle was done, this runner would come back with a spear, and he'd have a garland hanging on it, and he'd be shouting, "Victory! We won! Good news! We won!" That's the gospel. And the gospel is the gospel of good news. It's a gospel of victory. And we can have victory in Christ. And that's what Paul said in Romans, the 8th chapter. You see, he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this wretchedness?" He said, "The Lord Jesus Christ." It's a message of victory. Well, my message is to remain unmoved. Joshua was told to not turn to the right or to the left, but be straight on for God. Romans 11, 26. Let's look at that. Romans chapter 11. Paul is preaching here. And by the way, I seem to recall a source of liquid. Appreciate that. My throat just got dry. Romans 11, verse 26. "And so all Israel will be saved. Just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins." You see, God gave us a theology of deliverance. Jesus came to deliver us from sin, to deliver us from falsehood, and to bring us into a relationship with Himself, with God. This area is very critical. When we go out to teach people, we're there to help deliver them. Amen. And we need to express that at times. The gospel is a powerful message that will change your life. It will deliver you from all of your problems, from sin, from Satan, from hell, and from the wrath of God. I tell you what, the deliverance is a critical to the point of understanding who is a Christian. It's absolutely essential to the health and the welfare of the church. If the church blur the lines between a Christian and a non-Christian, it's headed for destruction. The enemy is invited into the camp when you do that. And the church's identity is destroyed. It allows Satan to gain a foothold. And look out. I tell you, denominations have blurred the idea of who is a Christian so long. And this concept of who is a Christian and the descriptions of a true Christian has been lost even among the Restoration Movement. They don't look at a Christian as being a holy, righteous individual anymore. They just adopt anybody. They want big crowds, so they'll bring anybody and everybody in that they can get in, and then they define Christianity to fit the people. Denominations are always redefining non-Christians as Christians, and it's worse now today than it was years ago. It's getting worse. The true church is a society of the delivered, and we have to keep that distinction very clear. Why? We want the church to remain faithful. And the definition of who is a Christian is very important. The Lord wants a pure church. He wants a chaste bride. He wants one without blemish or spot. And He wants a church with true believers, with obedient followers. And we must protect the church from the encroachment of the devil. And also, we must protect the sinners from being deceived. Because false teachers have deceived the masses. You look at these mega churches, I call them mega. Yeah. Well, I'll get that later. I got it in my notes. I'm jumping ahead here. Can't think what I called them. All right. What is the biggest problem in the church today? I say it's the inability to discern. How many times have I heard over the years, people that attend the Church of Christ, and someone, saint, comes up and say, I have a great Baptist neighbor. They're good Christians. And that just makes me shake all over inside. How can they come up with that statement if they know their Bible? Haven't they been reading it? Don't they apply the Word of God? See, Joshua was told to never turn away from the Word of God, from the commandments. In other words, understand God's Word and properly apply it. That's what he means. Joshua had to follow that and apply the Word of God. The brother brought out 1 Corinthians 16:13, and I'd like to go over that also. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. Got the New American Standard. It says, be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. See, Paul gives 5 commands right there to the church. He tells them, I want you to be alert. I want you to be awake to every situation I want you to realize what's happening in your environment, in your community. We need to be alert to spiritual things. And he says, stand firm in the faith. Don't depart from the faith. We're supposed to hold fast to the Word of God and struggle for it. And he said, stand firm. Be mature. Be like men. God wants us to grow up and act like a mature person. You know, when churches get into conflicts, a lot of times you get this childish behavior. Raised voices. Making accusations and calling names. You know, you can call somebody a name and people pick it up right away, don't they? And we need to watch out for name calling. There's one time, story about a dog. He was very hungry and he was walked by this meat market and there was some beef sitting out there on the counter. He ran up and he snapped that beef and the butcher, he caught the dog and he had this big old knife, you know, that they cut the meat with. And the dog pled for his life. So the butcher said, okay, I'll let you go. So the dog took off down the street. Butcher walked to the door and he said, mad dog, mad dog. Well, the people got all roused up and they chased the dog and killed him. Well, you see, just calling somebody a name causes other people to rouse up against them. And that's why Christians need to control their tongue. Name calling is very destructive. Now, Jesus delivered you from error to the truth. We know that because in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, he tells us about this great deliverance, and we need to keep this in mind as Christians. And Paul is reminding the Colossians here, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transformed us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now, that is the miracle of deliverance. God takes us from the kingdom of darkness and puts us in a new kingdom, the kingdom of light, kingdom of Christ. And it brings out, we look at verse 12, of course, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So we have darkness and light contrasted here. Darkness represents ignorance. It represents error. Light represents truth. The Word of God. Psalms 119, 130 says, the entrance of thy word gives light. That's why you and I need to be students of the Bible. Study to show yourself approved. Why is it people can be Christians for so many years and not be able to answer any questions on the Bible? Why is it they don't know where Habakkuk is and other books of the Bible? Why is it they can't explain God's plan of salvation, even though they've experienced it, but they have never taught it? We need to learn. Take in the Word of God, and it gives light to us. It gives us understanding. It gives us truth. We cannot live without it. We're dead without the Word of God. Psalms 119, 105 says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You and I need that light. We need it every day. It takes courage to stay with the light. It takes persistence to maintain the light in your heart. And that's what Joshua was told to do, to keep on, keeping on, maintaining the Word of God in his life. Psalms 119, 104. Let's go to that. I like that. Psalms 119. I want you to read this with me rather than I could quote it or read it for you. 119, 104. Well, let's see here. 104, it says, "From your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way." Why is it you find people in the Lord's church want to entertain themselves by reading books with false teaching? Why do we remember the book came out that was called the Hatch or the Shack? All right, I heard Christians praise that book all over the place. It's false from one end to the other. It's a bunch of idle talk, and we're told not to give ourselves over to this idle talk and foolish things. They have a God is a black woman, and Jesus Christ is a little child, and she tells him off and all that. I had to study that junk so I could expose it, and just kind of made me sick as I read through it, what it was all about. We should hate every false way because God hates every false way. We're to be like God. In verse 101, it says, "I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word." How can we keep his word? We've got to do some restraining, don't we? Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverted mouth I hate." God sees things as they are. We need to see it as it is. We need to develop a hate for false teaching. Now, we don't hate the false teacher. We don't want to kill him or badmouth him, but we hate what he teaches, and we expose what he teaches. I was sitting at a conference, Ministerial Alliance, one time, and I was sitting in the midst of them, and the Lutheran preacher was there, and I had converted a family from the Lutheran church. And like the brother brought out, he said to me, he said, "You're a sheep stealer." And I said, "Well, I didn't know they were sheep. I turn goats into sheep." And he wouldn't talk to me after that. But, you know, sometimes I'm smart enough to come back with something. I'm not like Archie Word. You know, a lot of times I don't answer. Wish I did. You know, after I'm gone, I think, oh, that would have been a powerful answer. But I've always appreciated Archie Word because he was quick on. Somebody brought something up, and boy, he had an answer right now. But we are to remain unmoved. Do not be sidetracked by the flesh, your emotions. I tell you, the whole world is controlled by emotion today. The mindset of our society is, don't think about it, just do what your gut feeling, you know. And if you got a deeper gut feeling, well, let that gut feel. See, I mean, our society does not want intellectual wisdom to control them. They want their emotions. And I don't want anybody to do anything because of their emotions. Turn to Hebrews 13 and verse 22. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 22 says, "But I urge you, brethren, bear with this word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly." Take notice that our brother Timothy and so forth, but he's saying, "I urge you, bear with this word of exhortation." That's a good thing. We need to learn to accept, to bear with the word of God. Let his word soak in. You know, that's why we don't put emphasis on entertainment in the church. Or play all this schmaltzy music in the background. One church there in Salem, Oregon, has a machine that produces a lot of smoke. And the preacher loves to come out of the smoke, you know, with a grand entrance. And one boy was that mowed the lawn for Bruce Childers went to that church, and Bruce tried to get him to come to church with us, and he said, "Oh, I like it down there because our preacher comes out of the smoke." I tell you what, so superficial, so you know, this is the type of Christianity we have today across the land. It's seeping into the Lord's church too. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Now, this kind of preaching is not popular. And that's why they do not preach these things. They do not apply the Word of God. Like Van was saying, it's good to just read the Word of God, but make no application of it. But the Bible tells us to apply it. He wants us to live by the gospel. And how can you live by the gospel if you don't apply it? That makes the difference between the true church and a false church. The true church applies the Word of God and lives by it. We have a young lady that is attending with us. She was in the Pentecostal church. Van and I taught her, and I baptized her into the Lord. And she was telling us, she said, "In the Pentecostal church, I go there, they're praising God, raising their hands, talking in tongues, and they talk about Jesus Christ, Jesus this, Jesus that. And then she says, after church, they want to go out and party and drink, smoke, and smoke pot. And they invite her." And she says, "Well, why are we doing this? We're supposed to be Christians, aren't we?" So she says, when she wanted to become a Christian, she said, "I want to be a Christian." And she said, "I have to get married first." She was living with her mate, and so she did. We got them married, and she's hanging in there. She needs some spiritual growth, but keep praying for her. But you see, that's the type of Christianity that's spread throughout. We have, why is it we do not want to be emotional church members? is because you can be manipulated to do anything contrary to God by your emotions. Most people have issues in their lives. You know, most people are sad. Most people have problems in their lives. And if a preacher comes along and he says, "Listen, I can give you peace. I can make you happy. Just give me a lot of money and you will be happy." I tell you what, they're manipulated, aren't they? And emotionalism must not take control of the body of Christ. So many people, you can promise them happiness and they can have a superficial step that gives them a momentary kind of release, and they're stirred up and they conclude, "Oh, God's on my side. He's going to be with me and give me all kinds of goodies, and I'm going to be successful." The world is full of people that wants to be happy and accepted. They want to be loved and they want to go to heaven. But when the appeal is to the emotions, you will get an emotional reaction. It's not necessary. Emotionalism is not consistent with true conversion. Now, I know we get emotional about the truth, but the truth must come first. The emotions do not come first, but the truth comes first, and then based on truth, then we can have true emotions, right? But a lot of churches are using the emotions, like the brother said. This young man was set right in the front row, and he was crying after the preacher preached the message. They know how to turn on the tears. They know how to get the emotions stirred up. And they can get those people to react. But this young man that the brother was talking about went right out and smoked and cussed. And he bragged about his church and his preacher. But see, the preacher didn't help him. All he did was blind and him. Here it is, mega churches with mega jerks at the helm makes mega shirks, okay? They shirk everything God has, and they don't represent God. They shirk everything for a shallow, good feeling. They want a good time. I had a young couple attend there in Salem a number of years ago, and they came several times, and one day she said, "Well, I'm going back to my church." It was a Methodist church. She said, "That preacher tells jokes," and she says, "I like going away feeling good. I guess I made her feel bad." Well, I preached the gospel and shouldn't feel bad with the gospel of victory, right? But that's why we don't put emphasis on those things. And I like jokes, anybody else, just like anybody else does, but I'm not going to emphasize those over the gospel. I tell you what, TV evangelists, just watch them. Just see how these guys, these big-time preachers, manipulate the crowds. They crank up the music, the tears, and the emotions with a fervor spit pitch, and they play at their feelings. The Word of God is forgotten. That was not the way Jesus handled man. Jesus came and gave them the truth. He says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth is to get into our intellect and thereby change our whole life. Our emotions and our feelings are going to be changed because of the truth. So here is the truth. That's the way Jesus did it. He gave them the truth and what we need to do. And What these false teachers do, they turn up the organ, they do a lot of humming and singing, and make false claims of healing. We don't need that. And we certainly don't need it in the Lord's church. So let's teach the truth that sets men free. The Bible tells us we're to love God with all our mind. See, He wants to affect our intellect. And that doesn't mean that we're cold and hard because we think. But God wants Christians that think and apply the Word of God to themselves. He doesn't want a bunch of shallow, superficial people in the body of Christ. That's why people fall away. That's why people don't remain steadfast. In Matthew chapter 13, it tells us that those who fall on the rock, they have no firm root. And when people come to Christ in a shallow way, based on emotions, they do not have a firm root, no character, and they're here today, gone tomorrow. I mean, I've baptized people, and I can't understand it. I make it very clear. Once you're baptized, you're a Christian, you're to stay faithful, you're to be there every service. And then I baptize them after I tell them that, and they seem to agree with it. And then they don't even show up Sunday. And the Sunday after that. And some will show up Sunday, then not come back after that. What's wrong? They wanted something without the effort. Too many of us today sacrifice the future on the altar of the present. I'll let you think about that. But we need to sacrifice the present for the future. That means we need to discipline ourselves today in order to gain what God has for us in the future. That means we have to make a conscious, intelligent decisions about how we are to form our future, our life. Now, there are many things that when people are shallow, it will show up. It will show up. I tell you what, trials. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 with me. And let's look at starting with verse 3. Peter is writing to the Christians. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice." He says, you got trials. You're going to have them. Rejoice in those trials. And he says, "Even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor and revelation of Jesus Christ." Why do a lot of people leave the Lord? Is it because of pressure? Because of persecution and those things, affliction that comes into their lives because they have no firm root. As Christians, We need to face those things. I tell you what, we need to rejoice, because when you go into a trial, a hard time in your life, and you come out of it still faithful to Christ, you've experienced the enduring faith. And that's a wonderful thing. Take encouragement from that. But don't give up because you have some hardships at times. Your assurance is the fact that you're still in there serving God regardless of what has happened in your life. We need to abide in Him, as the Bible says. 1 John chapter 2. I like this. I want to go over this with you. Verse 26. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. In other words, there's those that will deceive you. And like we have and mentioned here, backslidden preachers are the most deceivers of Christians. I've lost members because some false teacher, Church of Christ preacher, came in and gave them a message against me. And we need to be careful. He says, those who are trying to deceive you, as for you, the anointing, speaking of the Holy Spirit, which you receive from Him, abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. If you're a true Christian, you don't need a false teacher, no one to teach you. You got the Holy Spirit, you got the Word of God, you have the gospel. But as His anointing teaches you about all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in Him. We are to abide in Christ. In response to deceivers, the talk of genuine believer is to walk in the truth, regardless of what they say or do. And even those, and I won't have time to go into it, but the book of Jude talks about those who come into your midst and they are not true. They want to corrupt you and corrupt the church. They want to change everything. And they're blemishes. Let's get it real quick. Jude. Okay, Jude. But yet at the same way, these men also by dreaming defile the flesh and reject authority. You see, false teaching always ends in corruption and destruction of people. And revile angelic majestics. But Michael, the archangel, he wouldn't, he said, the Lord rebuke you. We need always let the Word of God be our source of rebuke. But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. By these things they are destroyed. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are the men who are hidden reefs. This is what I want. In your love feast, when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves. You see, self-interest. A lot of religious people today, most religious people are there for self-interest. And these false teachers work on that self-interest. Clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. So as Christians, we need to stand firm. We need to never waver. Don't allow our emotions, don't allow anything draw us away. False teachers, let's stay faithful to the Word of God and recognize the true preacher who is trying to give you nothing but the Word of God. And love him and work with him, and you grow in Christ as a result of that.